It is aluminum. That piece was plastic.
We just broke the truck.
All right.
Well, we didn't break it.
Thank you.
No,
I did. I toasted too hard. All right. Thank you, guys. We'll start with a brief opening statement from Coach Key first, and Coach Satake, and then we'll move to the room.
Which one?
Actually, let me see the long table. That shouldn't be there anyway. Yeah, you can go ahead, Coach.
Okay. We've done a lot of these opening statements already since we've been down here in the last week and then previous last week, so we'll be short with this. I just want to thank the FCS of having us here and the wonderful time we've had this week. Been a great event. I know our players, our staff, our families have all enjoyed so much being in Orlando. My family's still enjoying it today. They just left to go over to one of the parks, and the kids had a great experience last night with what they did. So we're really excited to play, excited to play BYU, a team that I've said now numerous times is a team that really should have been in the playoffs this year. And when you look at their body of work and what they've done, and so it's a great opportunity for us at Georgia Tech to be able to go to compete, and that's what we want. You know, competitors want to compete. And that's what we have. We have two teams of competitors. I'll go ahead and address some of the injuries for our team right now. Just to clear the water on anything, Clayton Powell Lee, safety, who rolled his ankle in the last game of the season, he'll be out. Braden Manley, defensive end, he had surgery right after the last game to go ahead and repair a shoulder that, we did the same thing last year. You have a shoulder. Do it now. Now you got a chance to get him back by spring practice. So went ahead and did the surgery. Chad Alexander, who came back from an ACL this year, he's just going through kind of the scar tissue, whatever. So it's nothing serious with Chad. Just something that he's probably doubtful, I would say, right now. I wouldn't go ahead and rule him totally as out, but he is doubtful. And again, it's nothing serious with him. Just something that, probably a week type deal. We tweaked it a little bit. Savion Riley, hamstring. And then Isaiah Canyon, receiver. He's got a little issue that he's got to get worked on and hopefully be able to get him back for spring ball as well. So that's the injuries. We want to clear the air with that. At this point, other than guys who might have made a decision to leave the football team, we have 100% participation with the guys on the team playing in this game. So really excited for that. I'm excited to be able to compete tomorrow.
Thank you, Coach. Coach Stockett?
Yeah, just to echo what Coach Key said, that we're really excited to be here. And we've made a bunch of announcements already, in terms of how much fun we've had here. And just like Georgia Tech, we actually enjoy being at the service projects and the amusement parks with Georgia Tech. And their players a great first-class organization. Koski does a great job as their leader, and they're an extension of him. That they're tough young men that love to compete, and they're very courteous and kind as we go through this. But I don't expect them to be kind tomorrow during the game, but it's okay. I think this game of football, you can have tons of respect for each other and enjoy the festivities of what the FCS has provided for us here. With the Pop-Tarts Bowl, and then get to competition. I think everybody, as they get closer to the game, the sense of urgency is starting to pick up. And honestly, it's just we enjoy being around our players and around our team, and these guys enjoy each other's the brotherhood that we have and that we've established. I can see the exact same thing with Georgia Tech. And so everybody wants to win because they want to send their seniors out the right way. And so sometimes that gets things a little bit nervous, but the truth is, winning just makes saying goodbye easier. It's going to be hard at the end of the day to say goodbye to these seniors that have put so much work into our program. I know that Coach Key and I have had tons of conversations about our players and our families and this area specifically. And so winning the game would make it easier to say goodbye, but it's going to be hard to say goodbye anyways. But regardless, we're going to be thankful for the seniors and what they've done in our program. And it's more than just the one game that we're going to experience tomorrow. But this has been a lot of fun, and just want to thank everybody involved. And our families have had a great time. It's a great reward. The bowl game has been amazing. because it's a great reward to the players, their families, also our coaches and our staffs and their families. And selfishly for me and my children, they love being here. So I think the FCS is smart. Bring us all in. Show these young men a good time here, that it could be fun for single young men, but also fun for families. And then you've got them hooked. So I can guarantee that there's going to be a bunch of our guys on our team, when they get older and become fathers and husbands, they'll be coming back to Orlando quite often. So it's a smart move, a great investment, and I can see why the travel and tourism has had so much success here in Orlando. So in terms of our team, and you guys, I know I've already talked about LJ Martin, and that there's a small window where he could get the surgery, and I think Coach Key and they have the same situation where after the holidays, it would extend his recovery. So, whether he goes to the NFL or comes back and plays his senior year with us, that it was more important for him to get the surgery done now, and then he can make that decision. But we're anticipating him being a leader for us, and he'll be here today rooting on his team. And for the rest of the team, a bunch of guys are still banged up. Our game day decisions, the question will be how they feel tomorrow as we get ready. The majority of the team's been practicing, so we haven't had anybody in terms of opt out, choose not to play in the game. We anticipate everyone that is able physically to participate that they will. Other than a few guys that have already announced that they're transferring, and those guys are all transferring for more opportunities to be on the field. So, what questions do you guys have for us?
All right, if you have a question, raise a hand. We'll get a mic to you. We'll start on the second row left.
This one's for Brent. I wanted to ask, you guys have an opportunity to win 10 games. What would that mean for you and this program moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, that 10-game threshold is it's big, just from an external perception, from going out on the road in January. We've taken great steps the last 3 years in the program of what we've been able to do and accomplish, and this is one of those, kind of glass ceilings, I guess you would say, that you're always looking to get towards. But the one thing we know is we cannot control the outcome of a game. All right, all we can control is what goes into it. All right, how we prepare, how we compete, and we can't control the outcome. All right, we're not an outcome-based organization. We are about being in the moment, being where your feet are, playing the play that you have. When that play's over, it's done. All right, same thing with the game. So it's important. It's big for the program. But, 9 wins is big too right now, right? And then 10, and then, it's always, you're always wanting to improve and get better and better and better. So, look, I don't care if you got 0 wins or 12 wins. You play that next game, competitors want to compete, right? Again, we're not an outcome base. We're about competing.
All right. Well, actually, we'll move to the first row, and then we'll go back to the second row left.
Coach Satake, I want to ask you, first of all, welcome to, or I guess I should say welcome back. We keep you coming back too, right? But, Coach Stock, I want to ask you, you have had an excellent season as a team, but I wanted to kind of give you an opportunity to say what it is you think, whether it's the Big 12 Conference that's underappreciated, or what is it that people are missing about BYU as a program that they should hear more about that would kind of help people understand how impressive a group you are.
Well, I don't think my job is to get out there and campaign for anything other than show what we can do. I was nodding my head when Brent was talking, because that our beat writers are used to me saying the same exact same thing, that we're not going to be focused on. I know my job is to win games, but that's not my focus. That's the byproduct of doing things the right way. So I see a lot of similarities in our programs, our style of play, but also culturally I see a lot of similarities. Smart kids on both sides and tough kids. And so a lot of what he says is what I believe in too. And so this is, they're a great team, and you can see it on film. I don't know if enough people watch and see the intricate details that go into all of it. You see well coached, you see great leadership, senior leadership on their team. I like to think that we're very similar. And then, I mean, there's things that we've sat there and shared and taken notes from them and watch them specifically on how they play the game. And so it's a fun matchup, but this is, I mean, when it comes down to it, I'm not here to campaign for anything other than we love being in the Big 12 Conference. We love the partnership that we have in the Big 12. It's been amazing for us when coming off of independent, as when I first got the job. And so to be in this position, I think more than anything, it's just appreciation and gratitude is what I have as a leader, as a head coach here, and seeing where how far we've come as a program, and just really proud that we get to be in the mix, you know. And a playoff committee made the decision, and we're okay. We'll move on, and this is not a consolation prize. This is something that we were looking forward to, this matchup, and so we get to play football again. At the beginning of the year, we didn't start campaigning, and so we're definitely not going to do it at the end of the year. I would just say that we love representing, and we really we just have this appreciation and gratitude for where we're at, and looking forward to the game and finishing the season the right way. And that's competing. And if we can be at our best, and if Georgia Tech can be at their best, and then all that matters is we'll be able to live with the results regardless of whether it's win or lose.
We've got a second row left, right?
Brent, I was curious what your assessment's been of the offensive staff making adjustments here and Chris calling the game, and just kind of how you guys have proceeded with that with the bowl prep.
Yeah. Look, the days of having, you know, five coaches on offense and five coaches on defense are so far gone. You know, so, you know, when coaches come and go, and that's going to happen. Right, they're going to look for different opportunities. They're going to look for elevation, what might be in their mind elevation or not. You know, they're going to look for different, you know, whether sometimes it's family reasons. You can't control those things. I learned a long time ago, you can't control other people's thoughts, wants, desires. You know, my focus is on our team. So we've got plenty of people on that offensive staff, believe me, that are doing a heck of a job. Chris's leadership has been, you know, he's been unbelievable these last 3 weeks. From the time that I brought the offensive staff in and told them what my plans were, you know, he's taking the bull by the horns. And, you know, it's a great experience for Chris to be able to call it. I mean, it's not – look, the calling it part of it, that's such a small part of being a coordinator, right? It's the organization, the leadership, the management of people, holding people accountable. That's what – being a coordinator is about, right? And that's what you look for in coordinators, leadership. He's got a very, you know, to know Chris externally is not to really know who he is, you know, when he's in the room with everyone. And, you know, he's a strong personality, right? He's very determined in what he wants and what he believes in. But when he sits down with the staff, it's a complete collaboration of everyone. And that's what it's been for the last 3 years. And Kelly, you know that this offense was put together 3 years ago. And, you know, you're going through these, you know, different, you know, this time of year where you're talking to different, you know, guys and, you know, about possibly joining your staff and whatnot. And, you know, you say, hey, well, you know, what do you call this formation? They say, oh, it's, you know, X, Y, Z or whatever. I'm like, well, that's double formation, right? We put this thing together. There's 165 people in our building know what that formation is. We're not changing it for one person. So then that's an overall team philosophy. That's building a program, not just a team for a season. And Chris has been able to step into that role, do an unbelievable job. It's, you know, I continue to want to, you know, put Chris in those positions. And again, the judgment on how someone does in that role, right, has very little to do with the outcome of the game. Right, it has to do with the preparation and the collaboration that goes into it. And I've been more than pleased with Chris. As a lot of people know, Chris has been by my side since the very, very beginning of this. I trust Chris Winkie with everything. I do. Within the program, he's going to tell me the truth. He's not a yes man. He's going to tell me what I need to hear. And I respect him for that. I mean, you know, our relationship goes all the way back to 2000. We were both seniors and went to the ACC media days, and we were both there. And of course, I was 22 and he was about 35 then, but his senior year. But, you know, he was over there hanging out with all the Sports Illustrated and ESPN people, and me and all the other guys were sitting there, like, you know, just hanging out at the bowling alley. But, you know, Wink is a great man. He's a great husband, great father. I love Chris Winkie. You know, I'm excited for him and his future and what he's able to continue doing, what he's going to continue to be able to bring to our program.
Yeah, second row left, Matt.
Yeah, Kalani, this is for you. I wanted to ask, similar to what I asked Brent about, this opportunity to play in this game. You get a chance to possibly win 12 games for the first time since 2001. What does that say about where the direction of the program? What does it say about the guys who've been around this team to be able to get to this point the last couple of years?
Yeah, I would say very similar to what Brent was saying, is that when you're doing things the right way, people are going to want your guys. And so that's especially your coaching staff. So we've had a lot of people that are interested in our coaches and myself, and that's a good sign. You know, it's difficult when you're the head coach and you're trying to keep things going, but if you have a great foundation, like I know Georgia Tech has and we have, I mean, there's times when Lavelle was when he was coaching, I mean, he had Mike Holmgren and Scoville and Norm Chow and all those guys were in there. I mean, this is like Andy Reid and all those guys were on the staff. And so I think if you have a lot of coaches doing great things, just like Brent's done, then guys are going to want them and they're gonna go to other places. That's a compliment. It's just hard to, because you put and established everything and then you're like, well, man, I got to keep doing that. But that's college football, and in some ways it's even with the players, you know. But eventually we're going to get the guys that want to be there and the guys that you know, whether players or coaches or staff, and we'll go to work. And so the thing that can be consistent, that's why I'm really happy about the long-term deal at BYU, is being able to establish a foundation and make sure that it's sustainable and that we can, you know, overcome anything, whether it's losing coaches to opportunities. I mean, give them options and all those. It's awesome. It's great for those guys and their families. And so, you know, you look at, like, Brent, and I'm talking to him and Sark last week, and you see the connections they have with all the coaches. That's what Nick Saban's done. So we would be foolish to not try to do the same thing, you know. And that's a good sign for Brent. Good sign for all of us that people want our coaches to become leaders and coordinators and be part of their programs too.
All right, we got time for two more. We'll do one here on the.
We got
the
a
right.
lot of time.
Well, you tell me. I'm on your time. We got time for at least two more. We'll do one on the right and then one on the left and see how we feel from there.
Kalani, I wanted to ask you about the contract extension. And do you think over the last few weeks that the added resources for your staff has allowed you to keep some of the staff members that maybe you feel like you might have lost in years past because you've won 22 games over the last 2 years? And do you expect everybody back?
Yeah, I can't foresee the future and say, I mean, I do know that I have coaches on my staff that want to be head coaches. And most of those opportunities, they'll come along. And so I want them to, I mean, we can be transparent as much as we can about it, but it's going to be really difficult, you know, as we go through this. I just need to know how to sustain it. And a lot of it is, now that you're given, NCAA has given us an opportunity to have more than one coach have a position. So I think Brent said it earlier, we don't need, you can have 20 to 30 coaches if you want. And so it's just a balance of how many and then who to replace them with. And so there's a bunch of guys that know what we're doing. And just like they're going through, you have the play calls are already done. I mean, you have them established, and these are the calls that you're going to make in a certain situation. And then when you get there, you allow the play caller to have a little bit of instincts to make that call. But as head coaches, we're the ones that override all of it. You know, I can be a jerk about it and say, I'm calling all three phases. Leave me alone. I got it, you know. And but... You know,
let's do that in second quarter.
Yeah, I haven't done that yet, but I don't know if I want to do it. But I do trust the guys that are there, and it's a great learning experience. I mean, we've all done it. You know, we've been graduate assistants. We've gone through the position coaching. We've gone through the play calling and coordinating and recruiting and all that. And so it's nice that we're able to mentor a lot more young men and women in on the staff to help us get the job done. And so in a way, it makes it an easier transition, but it's tough because you don't want to lose any of your guys. Just like we're losing our seniors tomorrow, we don't want to lose any of our family members. I mean, they're there to help us, but that's kind of attrition, and that's life in football.
All right, we'll go to the left side of the aisle, then we'll come back across the aisle and down in front, and I think we can close there.
Coaches, this one's for both of you guys. Just because you have kind of a unique perspective, having had your name kind of in the mix with other coaching jobs around college football, but this is more of like a broad overview type of question. Just what your thoughts are on the state of college football and the calendar and the way kind of everything is kind of coming together.
All right, so see, I told you we need more time. This is a broad question, but I'll try to make it very pointed to what I want to get across. But I think the state of college football is in the greatest place it's ever been. All right, fan and the fan experience, the viewership, the engagement of college football is at an all-time high. I mean, just the amount of people that are watching games, watching playoffs. The amount of people that wake up on Saturday mornings and watch game day, maybe it's for all of Nick's cussing, but you know, it's just overall. I mean, you look from, you know, whether it's Thursday night, whether it's Friday night, Saturdays, college football is a way of life in so much of the United States, right? And so I think college football is at the interest in it is at an all-time high. Okay, now when you look at the other things, I mean, and I say this all the time. There was a time when there were not face masks on helmets, right? And that changed. There was a time when they started out and there was, you know, voted on who the national champion was. And sometimes it was a split national championship, i.e. the last time Georgia Tech played a bowl game in this stadium, right? So times change. If you look in college football, about every 15 to 20 years, there's a major overhaul in college football, right? And sometimes you don't even recognize that it's happening until it's just part of the game. Right, we're going through one of those right now. Right, we have been for the last probably 18 months to 2 years. Right, it is a change in college football. Right? Well, massive changes like this don't just happen overnight. Right, the final way to do it or the best way to do it doesn't just happen. And when you sit in these meetings like we have to and you hear people talk, well, yeah, it might sound like a great idea to change the date on the calendar. But then when you start digging in and all the things that go along with that, and the all the things that affects, right? At the end of the day, right, our job is to graduate players from college, to give them opportunities that they a lot of them would not have had to go to college, to get a degree and change their lives, create generational change in families, right? We do that through the avenue of football, right? I'm speaking to myself. I had no business going to Georgia Tech. Zero. The game of football provided that opportunity to me to go to Georgia Tech. All right, it changed my life. It changed my family's life. It changed the trajectory of a lot of things. All right, I look at this every day. Like Kalani just said, yes, we are judged by the scoreboard, by the wins and the losses. All right, but I put my head down at night knowing I've done my part of putting better young men in this world. All right, and that has not changed. That will not change. That will not change at Georgia Tech. We just had the highest GPA in the history of our program in 133 years, I think it is, a 3.17. I have 62 players on the team that I've signed an appeal for. It means they had under a 2.55 in high school. They have a collective 2.86 GPA at Georgia Tech. 20 out of 24 freshmen that came in made Dean's List at Georgia Tech. All right, those values have not changed in what we're really out here to do. And that is to create better young men, to change the lives of young men that come in at 17 and 18 years old, right? And some of them that come in and they're through transfer and they're there for 6 months, all right? But when you get that stamp, that GT stamped on your life, all right, it changes it, okay? Are there things in the calendar? Yes, there's a lot of things that we could go through. But every second I spend complaining or every second I spend saying, oh, this it should be like – right, I'm wasting time trying to figure out how to be better. All right, let everyone else complain about it. Let everyone else waste their time saying that it could be better or should be like this or should be like that. All right, and I'm going to pass their ass. All right, and we're going to find a better way to do it.
Coach, anything you want to add?
I agree with everything that he just said, and I'm gonna brag too. You know, our job is, and I mean, all our guys, you nod your head because that's what I say too. We've had record GPAs every semester, and we'll follow it again this semester. And so the correlation of them doing well in the classroom and off the field in terms of service. And I mean, our guys do a lot of, with the platform that they've been given, they've done a lot of service, a lot of helping the community and promoting just good things in life. And so The reason why we want to be in college coaching is because we get to be involved with their education and be involved with their transition from a young man to an adult. That's what drives us. When we first started coaching, remember we were talking about our salaries when we first started doing it? I don't know if a lot of people would be doing that if those are the starting salaries when we started this gig. We did it because we had amazing head coaches and amazing mentors along the way, and we wanted to be like them. I wanted to be like Lavelle Edwards, and I idolized what he did, and then all the coaches that were on that staff. I wanted to be like them, and didn't realize that they're just mentoring me in life and not just football. I mean, football is a small part of it, but football was the key to getting my attention. And then next thing you know, I'm enjoying life as an adult because I was able to take in the education that I received, not just in the classroom, but in life altogether. And the benefit was that I wanted to be just like them, and I got into the business because of the same thing. So if we keep our focus on that, I'm with Brent. Let everybody else figure it out. What I do know is that I'm going to adapt to whatever they say we can do and what we cannot do. I mean, remember when we played, you said face masks weren't there. We had face masks when we played, so we're not that old. But you could target every play if you wanted to. In fact, that was celebrated.
I did.
Yeah, we all did. You could blindside just knock someone out, and that would make the highlight reel. And now we're telling them to pick them like basketball instead. And people say, well, it's not as tough. It's safer. It's better. We can all agree on it. We're going to adapt to whatever we're allowed to do. And within reason, we understand the reason why things happen. But I'm not in there to make those decisions. I do know one thing, though. If you want things to go smoother, involve more coaches in the decision-making process. And things will be better in all of it, whatever area you want to go into. But we can control what we control, and that's in our programs, and that's what makes it fun. And we've sat there and talked about a lot of different things. And I mean, I can hang out with Brent all the time because we believe in the same way. We're aligned in how we do things culturally, and it's a lot of fun when you get to meet someone that's very similar and runs a program the same way. And then, I mean, you're an O lineman and a fullback. I played fullback for a passing team, guys, and it's O lineman, you know. So basically, I was just a fullback because I wasn't tall enough to be an O lineman, and I just tell everybody my hands were too good; I could catch the ball. So that's why they
were short guard.
I was a short guard. I weighed just as much as the O lineman did, just so everybody should know that. But yeah, but I did love playing football, and I love playing for Lavelle.
You know, you talk about Coach Edwards all the time, and it's crazy the similarities that my experience with George O'Leary as a player and then as a young coach. We were talking about him just a minute ago, and how Coach O'Leary is still, you know, now Coach O'Leary nowadays will call me sometimes and be like, hey, make sure you go downstairs and tell the staff to get out of here early tonight and, you know, go spend time with their families. I'm like, huh? What? What'd you say? Is this George O'Leary? But you look at the coaches I was around as a player, you know, my position coaches, Mac McWhorter, Doug Marrone, you know, Bill O'Brien was the GA at Georgia Tech that drove me and my mom around in a van on my official visit. And then he was our running backs coach. And then my first year as a GA, he was his first year as a coordinator, Lance Thompson, Ted Roof. When we come down here to UCF, right, the GAs to start out here at UCF were me, George Godsey, Ryan Silverfield, Ed Manowitz, who's an agent now. I mean, we were all GAs together here at UCF for Coach O'Leary. So you just look at the people and kind of the progression of how, you know, I go to Georgia Tech and Doug and Billy were GAs. And then kind of as you go up and then you become a GA and you see where those guys have gone. But a lot of that is because of the mentorship that we had from those men that we played for and that we've worked for.
Still got time for a couple more?
Yeah. Cool.
We got one on the right, one on the front, and then we'll cut there. Thank you.
Yeah. Kalani, I got a more game-specific question.
Oh, great.
It doesn't fit, but you mentioned that LJ's out.
Yeah.
Obviously, Sione is on the depth chart. What is your confidence level in these other guys, Enoch, Jovessa, Preston Rex, and do you feel like they can step in and keep your offense, you know, moving along?
Yeah, of course. I mean, when you go through recruiting and development, you don't just have one and you stop. You know, you don't say, well, this is it. And And let me just remind everybody, you guys had no idea who L.J. Martin was a few years ago. You know, and so what happens is that they're given an opportunity, and then they literally, in this case, run with it. And so, you know, L.J. is going to have his opportunities to do things, and I hope he comes back. I think his decision is NFL or come back with us for a senior year. This decision to have the surgery was actually smart. We needed him. It's for his future. So it made sense for him to do that. But it's going to open an opportunity for somebody else to come through. I think A-Rod's really excited about Jovessa having an opportunity, and you know, Preston and you know, Enoch's been there. I mean, Enoch helped us beat SMU last year. You know what I mean? So yeah, you're looking at all the guys that we have there. They're all very capable running backs. LJ is the starter, but these guys, sometimes the difference between the starter and the backup is just when they can get their opportunity, when they can make it fly. And for us, we feel like we've done a great job with our depth on our team, not just in one position, and now we'll find out, you know. And I'm excited for these guys. And the tough part is you're going against a really talented team with Georgia Tech, and with more time to prepare for them. And so I don't know if it's going to be easy, but I know that I really care. I just want them to go out and have fun and enjoy the game and play tough and take advantage of their opportunities that they have.
All right. We'll take one more up front here and take us home.
All right, Kalani, I'll get the tough one out of the way. How many different flavors of Pop-Tarts have you tried this week?
Those are the questions I really like. I've tried them all. And so, like I said before, Brent and I agree on a lot of things, not just football, but eating as well. So there's not a Pop-Tart that I'm kind of disappointed that didn't work, because I could use one right now. But anyways, but they are good. Toasted, untoasted, it doesn't matter. I've been getting into the combo bites, but I think people look at me differently when I bite two Pop-Tarts at the same time or different flavors. But don't knock it until you try it, guys.
Go ahead.
And then you mentioned so much about L.J. Martin, Bear Bachmeyer this season, rightfully so. Just speak to the offensive line as a whole. You know, you guys retooled that a little bit at the start of the season, and specifically the leadership of Bruce Mitchell and what Bruce has added this season being the starting center.
Yeah, Bruce has done great. I mean, to take a young man that was a D lineman and to move him over to O-line and play center and snap the ball, it's not an easy thing to do. And so I think Coach Woods has done a great job with him and his development from last year to now. And to have him be a first-team all-conference, you know, that's awesome. But you look at the entire O-line, they're a close group, man. I think if you can get the line scrimmage with your best guys, and they're all believing the same way. I mean, I think Brent's going to be the same way. You want to establish that you have very capable guys up front. Bruce is a capable guy. I mean, and you combine that with the guys that we have, the five of them can do it. And We've had to use a rotation of 7 to 8 guys, and so that's good for us in our future and the development. We even put Trevin at a tight end a little bit and played him there. So, these guys can play. I'm really proud of all of them and what they've been able to do. This is going to be a tough matchup. You know, I want our guys, and they know it, and it's going to require us to be at our best. And I mean, Georgia Tech, they're ranked in top 10. They're number 7 in the country at one time. And you could see the talent and the skill there and the toughness. The way they played Georgia, I thought they had Georgia, you know. And that was last year, too. Sorry, Coach. But, like, I mean, there's a lot of teams that weren't in that place. And so when you see that, I think people look at the score and then they just bypass what actually happened in the game. And I think a lot of credit needs to go to what Coach Key's been able to do with that program and how tough they play and how they show up at those moments. And so, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the playoffs expanding and everything. That would be pretty cool, too. But I just love the bowl game. I love the fact that we get to be out here and experience this for these young men and for the families and for everybody and being included and kind of, you know, mingling with the community. It just makes it makes it even more enjoyable. And now we're all here playing a really tough Georgia Tech team. It's going to be good. I think no matter what, this is going to help us next year, just like last year's game did. The preparation, but the focus on the game and having it be such a difficult opponent, I think will really help us. It's made our team better already in the preparation. And then I hope and I believe it will springboard us into 2026.
Awesome. Thank you both for being here this morning. We appreciate your time today and all week, and we look forward to seeing you tomorrow on the field.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Go Jackets.
Go Cougs.